Everybody ready? Feeling yeah. good?
Ready.
Good? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Everybody really ready?
Yeah.
Woo. I love the Star Wars Tours. I'm so happy right now. We're in the one place we should be, Star Wars Celebration Europe. Woo! All right, let's
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the live Star Wars Celebration Europe. Star Wars Report and Fan Girls Going Rogue show. Make some noise, celebration! Woo! Yeah, awesome, awesome. Seriously, guys, thank you so much for coming out to the show today. We've got a great show for you. We're going to be talking Rogue One. We're going to be doing a character discussion. I can't even think I'm that excited. But we're going to do a really fast introduction for you guys, and we're going to get straight into it. Star Wars Rogue One. I'm Riley Blanton. I host the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm not from around here, and I'm very confused. But I'm also super happy to be here, and even more happy that you were able to come out to the show today. Seriously, thank you so much for coming, and I couldn't be more excited to have some really great guests here. Let's start with my sister, Sue. He has a sister. I do it every time.
Every so, like, time.
I just well, we get lunch, and I'll just be like, well, we're ordering Subway, and that's what I say. Bethany Blanton, welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here.
And, of course, here representing Fangirls Going Rogue, say hi to Trisha Barr, everybody.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, nice to see everybody.
And finally, here for the Rogue One portion of the discussion, the man who should be here, he's a writer for Entertainment Weekly. He's the man you need to talk to if you want to learn anything about a Star Wars movie. And then he will look at you and say, sorry, I can't tell you. It's Anthony Breznican, everybody.
I can tell you.
Entertainment Weekly.
I'll tell you anything.
That's right, everybody. Board. Secrets reveal. That's the plot of Rogue One. Right here, right now. That's right, everybody. Come on by. No, all right. Seriously, let's get straight into the show because we don't want to waste time. Who saw on the main stage the Rogue One panel yesterday?
Awesome. Only a few.
That's yeah.
Nice.
Who has? All right. So here's the true question because we're gonna like spoil the heck out of it. Who saw that amazing 3-minute reel?
Woo!
Yeah, it's amazing. So guys, this is it's. There's something about seeing a Star Wars film in a new element and seeing the different enthusiasm behind it. So that's the big takeaway. I'm just, like, just to kick us straight off, there's one thing that I have to say after seeing that amazing Rogue One reel, and that is we have a war movie. We have the wars in Star Wars, and I couldn't be more excited. So let's jump straight into the discussion. Anthony, tell me your first thoughts. What did you think when you first saw this reel?
Are you talking about the behind-the-scenes reel
yes,
or the
yes.
secret private?
No. We'll start with what everybody has seen, and we'll start with the behind-the-scenes reel.
I was really struck by the creatures in it, and watching it live, I think, I don't know if the rest of you feel this way, but whenever I see a trailer for the first time from one of these movies, I almost feel like I need to watch it 2 or 3 times, because you get excited about something, and your brain starts firing, your synapses start going off. And then 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 other things pop up on screen that go by before you, wait, what was, who, what, wait. And so that's kind of what watching it was like. But luckily there were all those technical malfunctions yesterday. So we got to see it plenty of times and then like freeze frame. But I really enjoy the fact that they do, it's very similar in tone to the behind the scenes reel that they did for Comic-Con last year for The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And I love seeing, I mean, this is what I love about my job at Entertainment Weekly, is I love seeing how the story comes together, hearing the filmmakers and actors and storytellers talk about what they're trying to pull off, what they're trying to do. And I think, judging by what we saw, we're getting what was promised, which is, you know, Band of Brothers in the Star Wars universe.
Yes. Yes, but the Band of Brothers has a lead that's not a brother.
Band of Sisters.
Exactly. Trisha, talk a little bit about this from the fangirl perspective, because we saw, like in the teaser trailer, we did get to see a little bit of Felicity Jones' character, Jyn Erso, and it was a really cool glimpse, but now that we've seen so much more, Trisha, where are you now that we've seen a little bit more of Jyn Erso?
Well, I'm a huge Felicity Jones fan anyway. She, you know, just brings in the theory of everything. She's the heart of that movie. And you look at some of the shots of her in action that we got to see, and she was put through it, apparently. There's going to be some really gritty action. But what struck me was the visuals. It's Star Wars, but it's nothing like we've ever seen. You know, the stormtroopers in the water, just the look of them in the fighting in the war. Even Hoth didn't feel like that. So I just felt like it was something totally new. And that was the thing that I was afraid of, but I was really excited after I saw it. Yeah.
Awesome, I keep thinking that armor's going to need to be aired out. Otherwise, it's just going to smell like low tide up in the Death Star.
Well, exactly. Well, it's so much salt damage, right? Like, if you're walking on the beach like that. But Bethany, let's touch base with you, because you literally got here like 2 a.m. in the morning. So, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the pleasure of pulling up the trailer and getting my own, like, you know the YouTube reaction videos, right? I got the pleasure of constructing my own YouTube reaction video as I showed Bethany this teaser reel last night when you flew in. What was your first impression?
First of all, I wasn't crying in the video. I just hit something in my eye when I was watching it. So my first reaction was just, I was amazed at the aesthetic of it. The fact that we're getting the Band of Brothers type of feel. And the fact that I wasn't upset about the fact that there are no Jedi. And that was something, when we first started hearing more about the movie, we were like, a Star Wars movie without Jedi? I mean, this is going to be interesting. But I think getting a different kind of Star Wars film will open up a lot of possibilities in the future that I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into the nerdy and the nitty-gritty details. Couple things that jumped out to me. Dude with the 50mm machine gun was laughing. I was like, yeah! That was a great moment. And I think that is representative of something that you really got a sense of, like, and I keep calling this, but this seems to me it's like the Vietnam planet. You see the sand, you see the beaches, you see, like, even... I don't know if that was a tank he was inside or another vehicle, but it looked like the inside of a Black Hawk helicopter, and like he's operating a machine gun. And it's just, there's something about that. Who's had a chance to actually go by the Rogue One costume exhibit? Yeah, so you see, if you haven't been, you have to make it up there, because that aesthetic that we're talking about visually, it's very much present there in the costumes itself. Anthony, talk a little bit about the aesthetic of the movie, because I feel like, and tell me if you agree with this, we're getting confirmation of this very... very different style of Star Wars film, where they are feeling free to not be too constrained by the saga films.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're talking in terms of the way they shoot the film?
Yeah, just yeah. The visual style.
Well, Gareth Edwards built a lot of sets in 360 degrees, costumed the crew, so that if necessary they could swivel around, do some handheld shots. I think it's gonna be a different type of cinematography. The language of the story is going to be different. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that looks when it's all put together in one piece. But I also loved, what I loved going through and pausing it later, watching it on my computer later, is being able to pause it, because there are a couple of split-second images of just, I don't know if they're creatures or people, some of them are masks, so you can't really tell. Some of them are humans, but they have interesting eyes or tattoos and markings. And I think we saw a lot of Jeddah. We don't get any Jedi, but we get Jeddah, this planet that is sacred to this faith. That we're starting to see the Force as a religion. And Jeddah is this sacred planet to people who follow the Force, but there's something there that the Empire wants too. And I think that's a fascinating dynamic. I don't know that we've ever heard of really the Empire being imperial, lowercase I, moving in and just saying, here's what we're doing. We're taking your resource, and we don't care if this is a sacred place. We're just going to take it. That's an interesting conflict to set up, one with real stakes and one I think our own world can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. Trisha, talk a little bit about that, because I think especially when it comes to what we saw with the Jeddah, it's this odd order that seems to worship the Force, that there's a sense of that this is an order that understands that mystical force that surrounds us and binds us together, but it's certainly not the Jedi. It's this different force, pun absolutely 100% intended.
Well, I mean, and we see the Jakku villagers, they worship in The Force Awakens, they follow the ideas of the Force, but they can't use it.
That's true.
You're talking about the brief glimpse. Did you see the character with the really blue eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, too, back to Onderon, the blue, because they're all blue-eyed characters. We know Saw Gerrera's in this movie with Forrest Whitaker.
He doesn't have the blue eyes.
I'm thinking he did in back in the day, in the Clone Wars, so they'll work that out. But but that's what I remember, the visual. And also, when they were casting the Jakku villagers, they were casting for light-eyed actors. So those really light blue eyes, they kind of stuck out at me as how is that they're going to be interconnectivity. That's the kind of things that get my brain really kind of going. But it's interesting because the Jedi aren't, are they going to be able to survive without people believing in them? So they have these people that believe in what they're doing that make what they do possible.
All right, I have a question for all of you who saw it in person and were in the panel. In the, I guess it's not quite a trailer, but in the trailler, you do get the sense that this is a Band of Brothers style war movie. Did the entire panel give you the idea that a lot of these characters might not make it to the end of this movie?
We're getting a lot of head nods. Yeah, no, that's the thing is that...
That's war.
It's war. And I think, depending on how it's done, it's tough. In a universe like Star Wars, where we have characters like Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan, Princess Leia, these characters that we've spent decades getting to know, it's an enormous challenge. It's like, let's just say hypothetically, if you've had a very high-profile death in a theatrical Star Wars film, it's going to be difficult to follow that up to actually get Star Wars fans attached to these new characters. Anthony, I'd love to kind of hear, because you've really had the chance behind the scenes to kind of get to know some of these characters. Talk about them, and do you see that potential for us to really fall in love?
I think so. I mean, Star Wars has always borrowed from mythology and different types of storytelling that are parts of our traditions going back to as long as there has been language, you know? You've got the wise old man and the callow youth, smart aleck, princess in danger, you know, they're archetypes that they're borrowing from Arthurian legend and from mythology. But I was interested, as I was reporting on this for EW, you know, it's almost like a game of, it's literally 20 questions, you know, get Kathy Kennedy on the phone, and I think she made that joke. She's like, this feels like sort of like balderdash or something, where you're trying to guess the word or password. Because like, I'm like, okay, so... you know, Donnie Yen's character, and I think the names had already leaked out at that point, so I was like, okay, we have this guy, Chirrut, and she would give me the last name, and I would say, okay, well, who is he? And she would say, he's a blind monk, but he follows the Force. And I'm like, okay, but does that mean he's a Jedi? No, he's not a Jedi. And then we were kind of like, it's just sort of like, I'm trying to feel around the shape of who this character is. And then she mentioned that Baze is his good friend, but doesn't believe anything that he believes. But loves his friend and is there to support his friend, is going to protect him no matter what. And I'm thinking immediately, Don Quixote and Sancho Panza. So I'm like, oh, is that sort of what this is? And it's like, yeah, close, not exactly the same. So I think that there are characters we already love, that we already know as part of our culture, and we're going to see echoes of them in these new characters. And I think that's partly what makes you fall in love with them, is the minute you lay eyes on Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're like, I get it. You're Merlin. You're the wise old man.
Absolutely.
Kills.
And what I like about that is these mythological archetypes. Because if you're talking about C-3PO and R2-D2, that's a very specific dynamic that we all understand and know. But it's very difficult, at least from what we've seen so far, for me to really make a connection, a direct comparison with two characters, with Baze and Chirrut. It seems unique in that sense that we can't just say, oh, well, that's just like Anakin and Obi-Wan, because it's not.
No.
There are these archetypes that we can kind of piece in the Star Wars universe that I think it's a dynamic that's going to be different enough that it couldn't be done in a theatrical film.
And archetypes are archetypes because they're part of human nature, not necessarily storytelling. It's things that we take from our lives as human beings that we personalities that are part of our species. That then resonate within our storytelling. We're getting a little like English class here, but
no. But
I feel like that's just like there's a cinematic language. There's just a general storytelling language, and that keys into certain emotions we have. Characters remind us of people we know. I'm familiar with that person. I know what it's like to be Luke Skywalker and stand there and think, what does the world hold for me? Where can I go that's bigger than this little Dust Bowl town? And I think this movie has a lot of potential because it has so many characters. I don't think there's been an ensemble this big. I mean, there are always big casts in Star Wars, but a team this big in any previous film.
It was like being there. Trisha, you were in the room. Talk about, we saw the entire cast roll out. Give me your, because we got a few minutes left. I do want to touch on the panel itself. Give me your overall impression of just seeing the cast together there on stage.
Just how excited they were to be there and to be part of it. And, you know, they were all out there smiling and grinning like they're going to be in Star Wars movie. And
now
they haven't been able to talk about it. They don't get to go home. You know, they talked about that. You don't get to say, oh, I did this today or, you know, what happened. You know, they can't say we filmed right down at the subway, that station. You could go see it. None of that stuff. So, and what other thing that struck me from the panel was Gareth Edwards' enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Him knowing that, you know, mentioning that he could have been one of us. And I think that really spelled out his, that he understands how important what he's doing is going to be.
He loves it. You can tell.
There's, like Gareth, he has this sort of, and I don't even mean this in a negative way, he has this sort of boyish enthusiasm about it that he feels confident in his film and in the vision to do something new within a universe that he grew up loving. And it's so great to see yet another young, talented director who studied under the likes of George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. It's like, it's just seeing these young directors who are driven, motivated. We know, at least, if you ask me, seeing him on stage, we know we have a guy here who's really excited to be doing a Star Wars movie.
Well, it's
and that's
not
just always good.
It's not just this panel either, because I saw him at Celebration Anaheim, and he was just so enthusiastic about Star Wars in general. Like, the Lucasfilm and Disney reps who were on the stage with him were just like, calm down, Gareth. Just calm down.
Well, we've seen
get
so
out the blowgun.
Exactly.
Tranquilize it.
Oh, time's passing so fast. It's been so fun. In fact, I do. We've seen so much, and there's so much more to talk about. But moving before we move to our next segment, I do want to get everyone's final thought on. We've seen so much this weekend. What's the missing piece that we're looking for? Like looking ahead to Rogue One. What are some expectations you might have or hopes you have for the film that you haven't seen yet? What gets you excited about this movie? We'll start with you, Anthony, if that's okay.
Well, we haven't seen anything from Mads Mikkelsen yet.
Yeah.
No pictures. We know his name.
And he was very sheepish on stage.
Well, after spilling so many beans, like, you know, this guy just dropping information right and left, and I think they were kind of like...
I mean, it happens. It happens.
Let's button it up there, Mads. Put a lid on it. But he, you know, we haven't seen his character. All we know is the background that he's Jin's father, and that he's a scientist who's created something that both sides
something
want.
Beautiful.
Something
at least
beautiful.
According to him.
Yeah.
At least according to him. And Trisha, what are you looking for?
I wanted to see more Mon Mothma.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, she's not there. I do understand why they were trying to lay out the team and everything for the band of brothers that's going to be fighting, but I want to see more Mon Mothma.
Kathy says you'll see a fair amount. I don't think like she's a main character,
yeah.
But you'll see a lot more than Return of the Jedi.
Yes, yes. Many Bothans did die.
I saved that for Rogue Two.
That's true. I know, guys. I know it's not that era. It's next. Yes, the next Death
We're
Star.
We're getting
I know.
Tweeted out right now.
Yeah. Let me talk about the emails are coming in.
You talked about characters dying, and I think that line she says, "Many Bothans die." The way she says it to get us this information is so somber. It's just that one line.
Oh yeah.
But that the reason everybody mistakes that for being this mission is because, yeah, you do have the expectation that whatever information they get on the Death Star comes at a great cost. So I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't going to be any Bothans, perhaps, who die, but that there was another major sacrifice to get this information into
Rebel's
hand.
Absolutely. Bethany, what are you looking forward to moving ahead? Rogue One?
This is probably very predictable, but Jin, obviously, I can't wait to find out more about her. But I love the ensemble cast. Lord of the Rings, for example, is one of my favorite films, and it's in part because of the team of characters who are approaching this problem together. So I'm really excited to see that dynamic on the screen.
No, absolutely. Yeah, when it comes to Rogue One, I kind of said it at the beginning, but it can't be said enough, because I feel almost guilty about this, but this is a Star Wars film that I started in the back of my mind building up a lot of expectations for. Because I love the concept of getting experimental, fun, spin-off, have nothing to do with the saga films. Because this is the chance to shine in a theater. It's great to read Death Troopers. It's great to read some of these amazing comics and books that have come out. But to go to a war movie that's a Star Wars movie, I was really, really hoping here at Celebration that we would get that full sense. Because that teaser trailer is very limited. It's very traditional in the Star Wars sense. But here, just like seeing Jyn Erso standing there in the what I'm just going to keep calling the Black Hawk, just with the hand hanging onto the leather straps so that she doesn't fall out, and just smiles with a smirk on the side of her face, and it's like, may the Force be with us. I'm like, you just did
yeah.
it better. She did it better than Sam Jackson, and that's hard to do. So, yeah. Guys, thanks so much for coming for this portion. We've got a great lineup. We're going to do some character discussion right after this. But say thank you so much to our guest, Anthony Bresnigan, for coming on. Anthony, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take just a moment here, get set up with our next guest, and we're going to continue the show. Thanks, guys, for coming by. A great treat for you and some amazing guests for the next portion of the show. And for that, I want to turn it over to the host of Fangirls Going Rogue, Trisha Barr.
Thank you. All right, we got some DK Publishing authors here and artists. I'm so excited. So we're going to let you guys introduce yourself, tell you what books you got out, and possibly if there's any other places they can get signing and whatnot today and tomorrow. Go ahead.
Hey, my name is Adam Bray, and I've written a bunch of stuff for DK, as well as occasionally I write for StarWars.com. And most importantly, I've worked on Ultimate Star Wars with Trisha here, and Star Wars Absolutely Everything with Cole. Cole and I also have LEGO Chronicles of the Force that's out this summer. I do the Rebels visual guides and a bunch of small little readers, and have some more stuff coming out in the fall as well.
And I'm Cole Horton. I work with Adam on Star Wars Absolutely Everything You Need to Know, LEGO Star Wars Chronicles of the Force, some other fun, exciting things in the future, and I actually wrote the commemorative guide for the show here this weekend. So if you pick that up in the store, I worked on that.
Hi, I'm Kemp Remillard. I'm an illustrator, and I illustrated the cross-sections book for TFA. I've been a concept artist for about 10 years, so now I make forever art in illustration books, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming. Kemp, we've never gotten to talk. What was your favorite cross-section that you got to do?
Probably the X-Wing. Yeah, it would definitely be the X-Wing. It's the hero plane, you know, it's like the one, but yeah, there you go. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with that, like that one especially because I mined some of the original blueprints, the Joe Johnson blueprints, and then, you know, obviously, like, the designs changed a little bit, so I got a little bit of leeway with stuff, and got to put in some Easter eggs, so I don't know if you want me to talk about that now, but...
Oh, you mentioned a few, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, and I talked about this panel yesterday, but, like, there's a cargo area in the front, in front of Poe, where on the old cross section it said that's where the flight computer was, and you know, as we know, in 2016 computers don't take up you know, the size of a trunk anymore. So I actually do have a too large computer that's too large, but then there's a cargo area in there that has all of the survival stuff from that Empire scene where Yoda's trying to steal the breadsticks from Luke, and. This was, like, on a suggestion from my friend. I was like, that's terrific. And then I went crazy with it and included all the items in that scene. So keen observers will, you know, note boxes and space trash cans and space generators and stuff. That's why it's my favorite. Awesome. There's the long answer.
Cole, we did a panel yesterday, the STEM heroes and heroines of Star Wars, and you have another panel coming up.
I do. So we've got two panels. I have two panels. So tomorrow, Adam and I will be on stage at the behind-the-scenes stage. We're going to be talking about absolutely everything you know about need to know about DK Star Wars books. So we'll talk a lot about the behind-the-scenes of how does a book that promises to tell you absolutely everything you need to know, how do we do that, right? That's a huge promise. And as writers, that's a big task. And then I'm also on the Fan Collector stage tomorrow doing my ongoing series of lectures I do called From World War to Star Wars, which is all about the connections between World War II and Star Wars, and there are thousands of them. So we'll cover just a few of them focused on, British service members, British places, and British props. So that's what we're going to talk tomorrow.
Adam, I wanted to ask you, since you did the Rebels visual guide, what did you think when you saw Saw Gerrera that he was going to be in a movie?
That was really awesome. It's, you know, as someone who loves the Clone Wars, it's so cool. I mean, it's really, I don't know, it, you know, reaches my heart, you know, to see characters like that come into the movies. And it also gives hope for other characters that we could see from the Clone Wars or Rebels or, you know, other projects that any of us may love that they could possibly now appear in a movie. So it's pretty exciting.
All right. So we're segueing into the segment that we always have on Fangirls Going Rogue. It's very popular. We're going to do character discussion, except we're just going to talk about the characters of the Clone Wars and Rebels and how we're excited to see them move forward.
Can we make it official?
We can make, it official.
Roll
Here
we
Rob
go.
Dellinger.
Leia, Flygon, Jin, C.O. Bibble, Kylo Ren, Salixius, Crumb, Bib Fortuna, Boba Fett, Amidala, Wicket, R2-D2, BB-8, I can barely keep it straight. It's a character discussion, it's the Fangirls on Character, it's a character discussion.
Yeah. we had that. So I'm gonna ask the questions. You guys can jump in and answer them. So we just mentioned Saw Gerrera, and we saw the interconnectivity where Ahsoka came up into Star Wars Rebels. Yeah. So which for all of you guys is just think about it, talk about it. What character are you excited to see move up out of the Clone Wars? We had quite a few. That, you know, Hondo, Rex, Ahsoka, which one's excited and where would you like to see them go? So we'll go down to Bethany.
All right, so again, this is probably pretty predictable, but Ahsoka, I love her. Yes, exactly. And I really want to see what Ahsoka does outside of the Jedi Order, because she was not a part of the Jedi even after the Clone Wars. So I almost think that she's more at home with what's going on than Kanan and the rest of the crew, perhaps. So I'll be really interested to see her move from, in our minds, kind of the Padawan role to really being a teacher and somebody who really knows what's going on.
Did anybody here go to the Ahsoka panel yesterday? Yeah, I heard there were tears shed, but a lot of hope for her in the future. So it's available. You can check it out. And there's some great artwork, so I recommend that. So Kemp, how about you?
So, I haven't seen the Clone Wars. I really want to know what young Admiral Piet was like, though.
He's a jerk.
So.
That's fine. You can go forward and backwards. But no, that's cool. Cole?
One of mine is fairly obscure, but Lux Bonteri. I think that character is the right mix of, you know, there's still a lot to explore, right? So it leaves room for future storytelling. But he also comes from the right place as far as a story I want to see, right? He was nobility. But he lost during the Clone Wars, right? Essentially, he didn't win. He didn't come out of that very well. And so what does that do to him as he grows up? And he was of the age that he could grow up right into some of the coolest eras in Star Wars, right? And actually be an adult that had a pretty rough go at it as a kid. And now he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. That would be my pick if I could choose.
Adam?
Of course, it goes without saying, Ahsoka, Darth Maul, I'm really excited about seeing how he continues. I think the season finale of season 2 was probably one of the greatest episodes of Star Wars ever. So I'm really excited about the season. But I think for somebody new coming in, I'd really like to see what happens to some of the kind of the Jedi stragglers that might still be around, the last remaining few that haven't been wiped out. Like the Jedi younglings, you know, we were set up with them late in the Clone Wars, and I think there's a good opportunity for storytelling to talk about what's maybe happened to maybe one of those if they're still around. We had Luminara Unduli in the first season, but we haven't really addressed that in Rebels yet about some of the others, so I hope we'll see some of that.
Awesome. Riley, do you have... I'm voting for more Hondo. He can be in everything.
Yes.
But, you know, just because he lightens the situation, even when it's a little bit dire.
Let me tell you, Hondo is I'm a big fan of the Hondo. But I'm going to cheat. I'm going last, so I'm doing it anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to think about just what happened. While Adam was talking and just mentioned the word Ahsoka, the entire behind-the-scenes stage just erupted in applause. So I think that's a sign because, listen, we all like Ahsoka. You guys don't understand. We all love Ahsoka. Let me just tell you, like, as we're watching that last episode of season 2, I'm just remembering being that, like, cynical, I don't know, like, 15, 16-year-old kid watching the first season of Clone Wars being like, well, I don't know about this whole Padawan thing. And I'm sitting there, I'm a proud, well, not anymore, but I was once a proud, like, masculine man, and I'm reduced to tears as we see her walk, and the visage disappears, and I'm, like, looking at my TV screen going, no, no, what happened? And I'm like, Dave Filoni, he may not be anywhere near my house, but I'm like, Dave Filoni, where are you? Let me know what happened. And I'm so sad I missed the panel yesterday, but I'm so glad to hear that she, through the passion of the fans, is getting the recognition she deserves. So yeah, Ahsoka. Sorry, I'm just gonna keep. We're all gonna keep saying it. But yeah, absolutely.
Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did you guys all see the Rogue One teaser sizzle reel yet?
Yeah, I saw the sizzler reel.
Yeah, sizzle reel. All right. So not just characters, but also we have. Things, we have different, one of the things I noticed from the Rogue One costume exhibit is that if you're used to seeing the animation and they always use the cubes and everything because it was easier to render, there are cubes in the costume exhibit. So that's what they brought that forward from the visual look. So we also have vehicles that we would like to see, not just from the animation, but from the you know first six movies that we'd like to see expanded. We saw the walkers on the beach and now they have, you know, they're modified. So, Kemp, is there anything that you would like to see maybe from the other movies that would be modified, developed as far as a ship or...
That's a stumper. I mean, the walkers are always a fan favorite. Yeah, the AT-ST, like if there was some kind of evolution of that, would be pretty interesting. You know, yeah. I mean, they're all really interesting to me. Like, I know this is a non-answer, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't really gotten to touch a walker yet, so hopefully that will come up in the future. Yeah.
It's on your wish list?
It's on the wish list.
Awesome. Cole?
I want to see just a slightly more modern take on the Death Star, right? The original felt small, right? There were production limitations. Only it had so many hallways you could shoot in from every direction to try to make the Death Star. But this thing is massive, right? I want to see just really how big it is. And even looking at the props on display, you realize that they've just sort of updated things a little bit. Even just little tiny details, right? So like the stormtroopers, they're the iconic stormtroopers you have always known, but they just have little tiny upgrades, like the bodysuit. And the old one, it was just black fabric, you know, pretty basic. Now they're actually ribbed, and there's so much more detail, and you only know it when you really look at it. But it helps it, right? Kind of just feel a little more modern.
I want to see the shopping mall in the Death Star. Yeah. Where they can all, they have to shop, they have to get stuff, and everything's in, what, one color, two colors, you know?
Was that like the last piece of the second Death Star that they hadn't finished yet? The Emperor will be disappointed if Target is not available.
That's what I want to see. Adam?
Yeah, I think... rather than like cameos of technology or aliens or things that we're familiar with, I'd like to see a little bit more revealed about the cultures of some of the creatures and the people. So like show us an Ithorian spaceship, you know, and show us something you know, that would be particular to what's Greedo's species.
Rodian,
yeah. Show us some specifically Rodian artifacts or something that's particular to alien species to shine a light on their cultures and just develop that more.
If I could, I wanted to say real quick. I've always loved that scene where the Rebel fleet is jumping into hyperspace in Jedi, like right before the giant battle. And if I'm not mistaken, there was a scene like that in TFA that was cut or something like that, which was, I don't, this is not any insider information or anything, but that, like, if it, expanding the Rebel fleet and, you know, like, the frigate was always really interesting. It had a really interesting shape. The Rebels had all of these, like, you know, it's like a hodgepodge fleet, and it'd be really cool to see that developed more. Because we all know what the, you know, what the Empire standard ships kind of look like, but it, you know, the fleet on fleet battles, I really hope they ramp that up soon.
Awesome. I'd like to see more speeder bikes, different kinds, different evolution, swoop bikes, stuff like that, things that we've heard of in stories and never seen too. So there's a lot way to go. Riley?
I've always like creative use of technology. Like regardless of what you think about them, I am one of those kids. The first Star Wars film I ever saw was The Phantom Menace. That's right. That's right. Everybody looks at everyone, like, eyebrows are raising in the background. But yeah, I mean, that was the age I was. And, like, I absolutely loved the Gungan technology because it was weird. It was like, it was giant space water balloons, and it was great. So I love seeing that kind of weird technology evolve and new versions of it. So what I'd really love to see in the future of Star Wars is just new creative uses of technology interacting with what we already know. And like, there are moments, like, even in some of the Old Republic trailers, when you see an ancient Jedi catch a lightsaber with a force movement we've never seen before. That's the kind of thing that I'd love to see in the future.
Bethany, I saved you for last because you always have the best answers.
Oh, I don't know about that. I guess for me, I would love to see more use of the force in ways that we haven't seen before, just to kind of go off of what Riley was saying, but and I know I'm being a little nerdy here when I say that what I've seen in video games or the TV shows or the trailers for the Old Republic or in the Old Republic video game, those things are so cool, and I would love to see that on the big screen. And I know not all of them can translate well, but for example, in the Force Unleashed games, I would always max out all of my lightning powers like immediately. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but it was a lot of fun.
Stay away from Bethany. So who out here is going to the Rebels? Going to see Rebels later today? Yeah? Excited for that. We just want to give you guys an opportunity real quickly to tell where people can find you on social media if they're looking for you. So go on.
The best place to find me is on Twitter, so I'm at author Adam Bray. You can also get find my stories occasionally on StarWars.com. I've got a website, AdamBray.com. It's kind of a placeholder right now, but maybe someday I'll do something more with that.
And I'm also on Twitter, at Cole Horton, all one word there. And you can find me, too, on StarWars.com.
All right, 1 second before. For you two guys, we have this that we're giving away. And I had already pre-picked the person, the seat that was going to get it. So it's that young
here
lady
we go.
Right here.
Here we go. Oh.
You're going to get a copy.
Yeah.
You have the authors here so you can get it signed. We also have a copy of Ultimate Star Wars. And this one, I had the person picked out already. This has got the nice sheet on it, too. You're there. Cheers. And Kemp, where can they find you?
Okay, so yeah, I wish this was consistent, but I have a website. It's kempart.com. I'm Kemptronicus on Twitter, and I'm Kemptron on Instagram.
It's fine. Awesome.
Oh, and if I can just add, if you haven't been over to the DK booth, they have a great selection and the prices are amazing. I guarantee you will never, ever find the books as cheaply as they are available at this convention here.
Go
so
there.
If there's a book you want it, do absolutely go get it now. Do not wait.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So we're just going to wrap up with our little show here with Bethany Riley and I. What are you guys looking forward to for the rest of Celebration?
All of it. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. This is my first time at a European Celebration. And like everyone was like, no, it's not as big. It's not as packed. And I just want everybody to like, look behind you. You lie. It is an absolute jam-packed fun time. Honestly, it's the future filmmakers. Hashtag, please show us episode 8 stuff.
Yes,
with the and stuff. It's all hashtag there. But yeah, no, I can't wait. Bethany?
Oh, goodness. I'm just so excited to be here. So as a very short background, I came off of a study abroad, which was like 3 semesters worth of Russian language in 2 months. It's very intense. So I dragged myself here late last night and was like, Riley, come get me, which he did, thankfully. And so I'm just so excited to be here and to be in Star Wars. It feels like a coming home after a ridiculously tough final exam. And oh my goodness, I just can't wait to see the actual rest of the convention and that same panel. Yes, please show us episode 8.
I want to tell people, if you've not been to the virtual reality experience at the ILMX lab, go run, get in line for it tomorrow. The passes ran out very quickly. And did you get to do it, Cole?
I did. And as I took the headset off after doing the experience, I was trying to decide, is it the coolest thing I've ever done at Celebration, or is it the coolest thing I've ever done?
It's pretty
nice.
Cool. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
It was one of those things where you're in Star Wars. It's way awesome. I hope this becomes something in the future we can all do.
Absolutely. Well, Trisha, tell people about Fangirls Going Rogue. Where can people find you?
You can find Fangirls Going Rogue at FG Going Rogue on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram. We have a Facebook page, Fangirls Going Rogue. That's all you have to type in. We're on Libsyn. We have a webpage. You can find everything. It's fangirlsgoingrogue.com. We'd love for people to come and listen. It's Sarah Walowski, Teresa Delgado, and myself, and we have a lot of fun, and we do a lot of cross stuff with Bethany and Riley.
Yes, we do. Awesome. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to wrap up here. Two last things you want to do. Follow at Star Wars Report. We're here all weekend. We're tweeting up a storm. And of course, if you like this show and you're enjoying what we're talking about here, we do it every week. Go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and that takes you straight to our iTunes page, and you can subscribe there. But seriously, like, to everybody who came out, I've been emailing back and forth with a lot of you who are able to come out. We're going to hang out over here around the corner for just a couple minutes. Come by, say hi, and tell us we didn't suck. If we suck, just kind of, you know, like, yeah. The ILMX Lab right over
and
there.
And I have buttons for Fangirls Going Rogue.
Absolutely.
To this.
There we go. Free buttons. So, guys, we got to wrap it up. We'll see you guys next time. That's it.